103rd Psalm, starting in verse 8 down through verse 17, preached from everlasting to everlasting. It said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Aren't you glad? "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we were our dust. And as for man, his days are grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children." I think that too often that I think of God as probably most do, most of you and most everyone. And that is, we think of him in human terms and thoughts. Of course, we're human. And terms of our own devices. But we mustn't do this, because that's to bring God down to our level. You see, perhaps because God often relates to us on our level, and he does that. Matter of fact, pretty much throughout this whole book, God relates to us on what you might call a human level, so that we have an understanding. You remember Paul was called the third heaven. He said, "I don't even know if I was in the flesh." It's a different level, you see. And so because of that, that God does that, we wrongly form human opinions about God. Do you know there's actually a word? There's actually a word for that. It's called, I'm sure I'll mispronounce it, anthropomorphism. Anthropomorph, something like that. And what that means is God relating to us, to man, in human terms. They actually have a word for that. And I believe that that's why children now see parents as their friends. People raise children different. I've watched them from my grandkids. We got kids in our midst. And I watched the way, last night there's a term, good job. I never heard that. Not ever, growing up. It's some new term. First time I ever heard it, my daughter said it, I think. She's 50-something years old. Good job. What do you mean, good job? They don't work. They don't have a job. I don't get it. So it's just there's certain terms. And I watch at work these young guys with children. And they it's like they're friends instead of having reverential fear. And we've taken reverential fear out of the family. We've taken reverential fear out of religion, you see. So now God, our friend, is presented as such. But the problem is the word friend, like the word love, has taken on a misconstrued message. When you say that Abraham is a friend of God, it's not like you and I are friends. It's a different type of friendship. The friendship I had with my grandparents was a different type. But it was a different type. It was a reverential fear type friendship, you see. And a lot of that's due to our loss of language and human frailty. They dictate such. We just have become that. I find that the way a man accepts pardon, that's the most telling thing I find, is how a man accepts pardon. I've watched it for 40 years, over 40 years, the way that men accept pardon. Have you ever thought about that? And that's what we're speaking on this morning. True pardon. The grace of God. And he said, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Now that should bring even the most brazen forgiven to their knees. The fact that God's grace is from everlasting to everlasting. See, we too often think temporal. I don't know why. I guess our humanness, our frailty, we think temporal. And we speak so temporal. You know, he said, we're like the flower and the grass. And we're like, James says it's like a vapor and we're gone. And most of who I'm speaking to today, you're all way behind me. And I look back, I was telling Melissa yesterday, it's an incredible thing to me that 36 years have passed in our marriage. That's just an incredible thing. It was like a vapor, wasn't it? It was like a wind. It was like a flower. Like, it's like I woke up and 36 years are gone. Even though we lived those 36 years, we look back and it was but just a flash, you see. Once again, as you hear me say almost every Sunday, how shall we that are dead to sin? The one thing that stands out in my experience of conversion, above all others, is what I call the "it is finished" moment. When I had my conversion moment, it was finished, and it was finished. I remember it just like it's happening at this moment. Are you done? Yes, I'm done. It was finished, and everything became from that point on. It was finished, and everything became new. I think in the natural, what we have, especially in religion today, modern religion especially, we have repeat offenders. That's a real common thing. George will tell you that. And when I used to preach in prisons and jails, they're almost all, I'm going to guess 80 or 90% of those guys are repeat offenders. And we're all repeat offenders at something or another. It's what we do, you see. You won't find such with God, because that would be to crucify God afresh. And it speaks of that in Hebrews chapter 6. If you turn to Romans chapter 3, everybody should know by now, my favorite book, the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 24 and verse 25. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. And then if you turn over a page or two in your Bible and go to Romans chapter 6, and we see the first seven verses, and this is so glorious. It said that Brother James, the old preacher, told me, he said, he was on a tractor when these words came to his mouth. He jumped off. He turned the tractor off in the middle of the field and jumped off that tractor and ran to the barn in repentance. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not? How do you not know this? That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man's crucified with Him. Is he? You see? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So it's either finished or it's not. And so when I speak of conversion, true conversion, is it finished? Is it settled? Because grace is from everlasting to everlasting, you see. That's what finished is. It's finished. It's done. It's over. We know in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 4, he said, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When? Before the foundation of the world. We should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. And then you go back to Romans, the book of Romans, and go to chapter 8. And you go to verse 29 and verse 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting to everlasting. Those words. I mean, it's an incredible thing. And that's shouting ground. That's life-changing, born-again, new creature ground. That's Hebrews chapter 10 ground. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. We've read these many times, but we just read them, and it's an incredible thing. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16 and verse 17. He said, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. How a man receives pardon will reflect in his life from that moment forward, forevermore, from everlasting to everlasting. Do you see? He can never, never, never be the same again. And if he can, he didn't get it. I don't know what he got, but he didn't get it because it's not finished, and it's not from everlasting to everlasting. Because these things are, the man's a new creature. These things, he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. And it's not in him to be what he formerly was, his former self. And I find this moment in the life of all that are in Christ Jesus. This, what I call, it is finished moment. Not just Paul the Apostle on the road to Damascus. Okay? But all in Christ Jesus. I tried to think of anyone in this Bible that didn't have the same experience. Oh, it may not have been on the road to Damascus, may not have been a bright light, but they all had a conversion experience, every single one of them, from Genesis to Revelation, you see. One cannot be justified as such, as spoken in Romans, and not be a totally new creature in Christ Jesus. Can't happen. It's the one true defining moment in a man's life. Conversion. The Lord told me, he said, Peter, when thou art converted, when you're converted. He was already religious. He'd already been on the Mount of Transfiguration. He'd already seen miracles. He walked on water for a little while. But he said, Peter, when thou art converted. And I find so few that are what I call converted. It is finished from everlasting to everlasting. Now, chosen you may be, but converted you must be. You must be converted. You must be born again. You know, you don't need to judge children of God. You don't need to. Why would you need to correct a child of God? You see, we're correcting these children. Y'all correct them all day long, probably. Okay? But you don't need to judge children of God. They're already judged. They're already forgiven. From everlasting to everlasting. And the truly repentant, they cry out for such mercy as that. That's, they hear about it just like you're hearing the sound of my voice, and they want that thing. They desire it above all things. He said that pearl of great price, you sell everything else in your life goes away. Husband, wife, children, father, mother, brother, sister, riches, it all goes away, you see. And once they've received such, they cry as David in our psalm. And the first verse of the psalm we're reading, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Isn't that an interesting word? Forget not all of his benefits. Everybody wants benefits. You know, you go apply for a job, well, what are the benefits? What are the benefits if we move here? What are the benefits at this school, you see? And I can only say glory. Benefits, everybody wants benefits in life, from work, play. And here they are for the redeemed. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, I look at this Bible, and you know what I see? My benefit package. This is my package of benefits. This whole book is for me. This book is not for the lost. It's not for the people that don't have Christ. This book means nothing to them. They think it does because they think of God in human terms. But it doesn't belong to them. They've got no lot in it, no part, no lot in it, you see. You might say, well, they don't work here. They don't need the benefit book. They don't work here, you see. This is our employee handbook right here, and it's all covered. From when? From everlasting to everlasting. Look at back at our text, the 103rd Psalm. I read it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. How many iniquities did he forgive? Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. I'm glad. People tell me, say, you look the same. Amen. Good deal. I like it. It's one of my benefits, you see. Just read those benefits. Do you have them? Are they really yours? Go back over to Romans chapter 8. I'll give you some idea why chapter 8 is my favorite chapter in all of God's Word. Look at verse 30. I'm sorry, verse 31, we read verse 30. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. We say that, and we say amen, and then we read the news and think that everybody and their brother's against us. You know? Oh man, they're coming to get like these poor people in Australia. You should send her this verse. Really? Send her this message. Oh, I forgot you can do that. I send it out every week. Send her this message. If God's for, who can be against us? You say, well, they're doing that. Yeah, so what? I'm pretty sure God's not surprised. You see. Have we forgotten his promises? From everlasting to everlasting? Look at verse 32 down through the rest of it. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Are you God's? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Right now, while we're having this meeting, he's at the right hand of God, making from everlasting to everlasting. For who? Us. Not them. Us. Who shall separate who? Not us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? There's people, Christians out right now, like the people in, they're going through this right now, at this moment. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Man, why do you expect anything else? Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded. I don't think. I don't believe. I know. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that's a message. You should be able to pick up your Bible every morning, go to Romans chapter 8, and read the last eight verses or so. Read them. Amen. Every morning, before get up, and you get up in the morning, open your book and read 31 through 39. Okay, that's a pretty good start for the day. Pretty good benefits today, and let's go, you see. I put here, this is a great message. It's our hope. It's our charge. When? From everlasting to everlasting. Now the question is, do you possess it? Is it yours in this life? Is it finished, you see? Is it finished? How can you go one moment of one day without praising him that gave you this? Without the thanks and praise of our Creator, our Savior, on your lips every day. Bless his holy name. That's what David said. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy. Man, and David knew about it, just like Smokey did, big time. I know most of you have not been through what David and Smokey have been through, but I'm telling you right now, we know about it. It's not our first duty to love the Lord thy God, well, with all our heart, mind, body, soul, all our might, you see? I was reading Tozer, and he says a famous saying of a man that was going off to war. And, man, I've told young men this, and especially the young men I work with, they don't get this at all. They just don't. Now they give maternity leave to men. That's how ignorant. And this young man, he's going off to war, and he told his bride-to-be, he said, I could not love thee so if I loved not duty more. Now, I want you to remember that. If you don't remember anything else I'm telling you this morning, you remember that. I couldn't love you. I couldn't love her like I love her if I didn't love duty more. Now, you have to have some understanding of that thing. I always joke. I got this from Mike Campbell, and I told somebody this yesterday. Tell everybody. This is what I do around here. I am funding and transportation. That's what I do. I'm funding and transportation. Okay? Why? Because that's how I love her. You see? That's how a man loves his family. Not by going to the soccer game. I think that's pretty silly. I know. Yeah, I'll probably get... not by going to see their soccer game. You see? But by providing for them. You see? Oh, I've got to get off my son. What? Are you kidding me? Think, consider. We're reading it right here, our benefits. How the Lord cares for us. Not by going to our soccer game, but from everlasting to everlasting. You see, true love is, I like this, provision. True love is providing. If I love her, I provide what it is she requires. If she truly loves me, she does the same. Do you see that? That's Calvary. That's Calvary. That's the passion right there. That's our Lord. In the 50th Psalm, 21st verse, he says, God said, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. And that's how we started this thing this morning. You think I'm like you. He said, but I'm not. But I'm not. And that's what man and religion think today. You see? Thank God he's not. You know, my dad, I don't remember my dad ever making first football game. Isn't that interesting? He loved football. He loved the fact I played football. My dad never made the first football game I played. But I'll tell you what he did do. He left out before the sun came up every morning, before dawn. And he did that for over 40 years. And I always had a roof over my head. And I always had something to eat. And I was warm in the winter and a little cool in the summer. But today, they wanted him to go to the football game, or the soccer game. You see. And that's what to do with God. He's our friend. You see. You love your family? Do your duty. Because these things mean much more than birthdays and soccer games. Those things pass away. They'll be gone. I don't remember. Anybody remember one birthday party? I don't. I don't even know if I had one. I'm sure I did. But I don't remember the first one. Not the first one. Because, you see, God provides from everlasting to everlasting. By the way, if Dad had gone to a football game, I wouldn't have remembered. I was playing football. But I'll tell you what I do remember. I remember the house we lived in. And I remember the car we drove. And I remember the food we had to eat. So, don't just remember this vapor that we call life. This grass, this flower that vanisheth away. You've got to think, we're everlasting to everlasting creatures. And one cannot be truly redeemed, truly justified, until they see God as God. Until they see Dad as Dad and Mom as Mom. It won't be. They don't need friends, you know. And they all do it. I watch them at work. He's not the man upstairs. Not as us. He's God Almighty. He's the high potentate. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. When? From everlasting to everlasting. Now, I wrote a prologue this morning. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 and verse 9. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain, when? From the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Okay? That's what I want you to hear. Grace. Grace. And this was, I'm going to tell you something, this is a revelation to me this morning. I got this after the message. I'd already had this message ready. You see, grace didn't come from the virgin birth. It didn't come from the manger. It didn't come from the cross. It didn't come from the resurrection. It was already here. From everlasting to everlasting. In truth, it's never not been here. Grace was manifested in these things. Was manifested at Calvary. It was manifested to Paul on the Damascus Road. But the grace was already there. From everlasting to everlasting. And that's the point I want to get across to you today. Grace has ever been. And it wasn't a contingency, as so many preach it, you see. Because grace is an attribute. You need to learn that word attribute. It's an attribute of who or what? God. So when has it never been? It wasn't added. God's not a recipe. We've made him a recipe, and we add and take away. God said, I'm not a man. I change not. I don't repent. I don't change. Grace is from everlasting. And that's a glorious thing. If you can't shout, and it's revelation for those that can hear it, that grace is everlasting. And we look back. Paul said, don't look back. It's already it's done. When was he slain? For the foundation of the earth. It's already done, because we're time-bound human beings and we look at things different. But we needn't, because neither height nor depth nor any of these things. We've got it right here. It's all done. It's an amazing thing. I look at the girl this morning. I think about her running to that tabernacle. And that was a special, in a lot of different ways, a special moment in her life. Just like my conversion was a special moment in my life. But that was one point. Like geometry. That's one point on a line that never started and never stopped. And so I look at it, it's just a point on a line. Okay? But the grace is everlasting to everlasting. Oh, wow. And once you get that, because I'm nearing the end of my earthly line. Once you get that, what does it matter? It doesn't matter. Because it's from everlasting to everlasting. Our benefits are eternal. They've already been. It's already been. And it already will be. And that's what God said. Man, doesn't he rightfully say, just today? Partner, you got enough just today. Just today. So I don't know about that, but that's a glorious thing. This is such a glorious message for me. That my grace is from everlasting to everlasting. My benefits. I've got benefits. You and I, those that are converted, we have benefits that others may never know. They may never know. Grace from everlasting to everlasting.